brothers and sisters, another Tuesday night for our prayer talk. I must confess tonight I'm not very well prepared because of non-stop meetings today. I told my family today I officially contracted Zoom fatigue as a disease, as an illness. So I didn't have quite the time to prepare. However, there's still
Lord Jesus
in my spirit to share with you something. Well, this week, if you have been following beseeching.org and the prayer burdens that are released every day, you see that we're still in the matter of warfare, prayer as warfare. And this is a very, very crucial subject and very, very important aspect of prayer. Perhaps I would say even this is the most important aspect. Typically, when we talk about prayer, we talk about petitioning, asking the Lord for this or that, you know, interceding for this or that saint, and giving thanks and supplicating for some particular situation and need. So generally, we're in that realm, and that is all correct. But underscoring or undergirding almost all our prayers, almost all our prayers, genuine prayers, is the principle of warfare. You may say that there is not one prayer, not one single prayer that is worthwhile, that is true prayer, that does not touch some amount of warfare, or that does not engage in some kind of spiritual battle. So last week in beseeching.org, we touched a lot concerning, I think last week it was more on Moses' prayer, right? And that in on the mountain while Joshua was fighting in the valley, the Amalekites, you know, right there is a classic example of how prayer and warfare is conjoined. And so today, as the Lord's believers, and especially as the Church of God, if we are to really enter into the power of prayer, the effectiveness of prayer, then, brothers and sisters, we need to know spiritual warfare. Now, I know that word sounds scary. Nobody likes to go to war. No one likes to do battle. I rather have a good time to be in peace and harmony with nothing to fight, nothing to deal with. I rather do that. But, dear saints, you have to realize that this age that we're in, before God's will is fully done, before His kingdom is fully established, before His name is sanctified over the earth, before those things are happening, and those things are happening, but they have not reached the consummation yet. The goal, God's goal in all these things has not been reached. Then the Church of God is still engaged in warfare. With who? Obviously, with God's enemy, Satan. But not only Satan, as we saw, but with the evil spirits with the demons, with all the, not with but blood and flesh. Again and again, the Bible, the New Testament tells us our wrestling, our prayer is not with blood and flesh, not with human beings, but rather against, the word is against. We're wrestling against something else. I'm reading here from Ephesians. Finally, be in power in the Lord, in the might of his strength. You see, we need to be in power, brothers and sisters. Very much we need to be in power in the Lord and in the might of his strength. You see all these words, power or empowered, might, strength. We need all these things to do battle. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil. So here is even the first enemy. It's not even Satan himself, but his stratagems, his plots, his plans, his strategies to direct it at the church, directed at God's children, directed at God's people. Christ today is building his church. I will build my church. And all the believers are to be co-builders. Am I right? To build the church together with Christ, because the body builds itself up in love. And so there's a warfare going on. Satan and all the darknesses and all the authorities in the air, all of Satan's hosts is dead set against this building work. This building up of the church simply is the establishment of his God's kingdom, to bring the reality of the kingdom to this earth. And this building of the church involves a lot of things. It involves the salvation of man, the preaching of the gospel. It involves the ministry to the believers, the feeding of the believers for their growth. Things you would not consider as warfare, but these are all parts of building up the church. And then what else? It involves the growth in life. Now, when you say growth in life, that has nothing to do with battle. You are more than wrong. I tell you, for the saints to really grow, someone has to struggle. Someone has to labor. Someone has to fight for their growth. You know, it says Epaphras or Epaphroditus, I forgot the name at the end of Colossians, how he prayed for you, Paul said, struggling on your behalf that you may grow. So don't say growth has nothing to do with warfare. It has everything to do with warfare. So, and eventually for a believer to be perfected, to do the work of the ministry, and that is to directly be engaged in the building up of the church or a local church. That is what? That is part of this warfare in building up God's building, the church. And so, and then even for a saint to function in the way of prophesying, in the way of speaking for the Lord, to minister Christ to the saints for the building up of the church, that's warfare. That's warfare. And if we do not see this as a warfare, we are lulled. We're actually lulled already. We're befuddled already to think, even to think that this is not warfare. And I'll tell you today, the majority of the Christian believers are lulled to sleep. They are sleeping. And on that, I would just go to Romans chapter 13, that it where it talks about in the church life, there is this very important aspect of what? Waging the spiritual warfare. And it says, knowing the time, it is already the hour for you to be raised from sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far advanced and the day has drawn near. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the weapons of light, the weapons of light, this armor of God, these weapons of light. We need to be putting them on, equipping ourselves to that. For what? You know, when you go, even a soldier, when he goes to sleep, he takes off all the equipment, he takes off his clothes, he goes to sleep. But my, if a soldier realized that he is in war zone, he is in the battle front, even when he sleep, he got his rifle next to him. Am I right? He will have his equipment right next to him so that at an instant he can rise up and fight. Let us walk becoming as in the day, right? Not in reveling and drunkenness, not in fornication, etc. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, put on the weapons of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the whole armor of God and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Last week in my talk to you, I talked about the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit warring against the flesh. I'll tell you today, the enemy is not only even the evil spirits, the rulers of darkness, the spiritual forces of evil, the principalities in the heavenlies, all these evil things outside. But today we have another kind of adversary. And last week we saw that it was the flesh within us. The flesh, the natural man, the self, and I would even tell you the unrenewed mind. The unrenewed mind, the thoughts in our head, the imaginations, and all the fiery darts that the enemy will shoot into our head with all kinds of things to bother us. And so we have even some kind of enemy like this within as our adversary. So you put all these things together, brothers and sisters, you will see today on a daily basis in our church life, we are at war. Now, of course, we have peace in Christ. We enjoy the Lord. We have love. We have hope. We have joy, all these wonderful things, of course, that are Christ to us and Christ for us. And there would be no way for us to wage this warfare without such enjoyment, without such provision, spiritual provision. That is Christ in all his aspects. But when it comes to warfare, Christ becomes equipment. Christ becomes our loincloth of the truth. Christ becomes the breastplate to cover our conscience, because the enemy, the accuser of the brothers, would attack our conscience, to weaken our conscience, to condemn us, even to accuse us, to weaken us so that we cannot pray. How many times when we come to pray, we feel condemned? Actually, it's the accuser working, dredging up all kinds of things, wrongdoings of us, to weaken us so that we cannot pray with a defiled conscience. Our feet has to be shod with the gospel of peace. We need to take up the shield of faith. Am I right? We need to put on the helmet of salvation. That's for the protection of our mind. And finally, we need to take up the sword of the Spirit. Now, all these things, brothers and sisters, implies battle, warfare. And so I hope dear saints, you would not be afraid. You would not be scared. You will not say, I don't want this kind of Christian life. I just want a happy Christian life, enjoy Christian life full of enjoyment, and that's all. And please do not drag me into this kind of Christian life. Well, I like to tell you, if you are not engaged in warfare, you would eventually have, your Christian life will recede. You will, may not even have a Christian life because you'll be taken over. You'll be defeated. Even whatever enjoyment you have with Christ can be easily taken away from you. Unless you are constantly in an attitude, in a stance, S-T-A-N-C-E, in a posture of fighting, of fighting. So Paul talks about all these darkness without, and I mention all these adversary darkness within. And he says that we need to take on or put on or take up and put on this armor of God that we may be able to withstand the evil day and having done all to stand. Now, this is important to note. In our warfare, spiritual warfare with the God's enemy and our enemy, we actually, in a real sense, we don't, what? We don't pursue the enemy in a sense. But rather, we stand and we withstand. Now, what does that mean? That means we must adopt the position of victory, the position of ascension, the position that we have been seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That's where the church's position is. The position that we're one with Christ in his victory on the cross. And on the cross, Christ has defeated the enemy. He has destroyed the one who has the power of death. He has stripped off the flesh and the old man and all these adversaries. He has dealt with the evil powers, the evil spirits and the demons. He stripped them all off. They were swarming around him, but he stripped them all off on the cross. He emerged through resurrection in triumph and in victory. And when he ascended to God's throne, that is a declaration of this triumphant Christ who is now the king, the victor, the leader in this universe. And we, the church, as his body, are one with him organically and in identify with him and one with him. So where he is where we are. His position is our position. We're one with the Lord Jesus, one in your crucifixion, one in your resurrection, one with you in ascension, and even one with you in your enthronement. So we take that position to fight. We don't fight from below, we rather fight from above. We don't fight upwards, rather we fight downwards. You know, today the evil spirits are in the air. That is not the third heavens. That is just the stratosphere around the planet, the air. That's where they are. But God's throne is way beyond that above, and that's where we are in reality. So we're looking down at them. We fight in this kind of a way. That is the first thing. The second thing is that this kind of warfare does not belong to an individual Christian. Don't even attempt to fight that way. You know, Brother Nee, Watchman Nee, he put out three volumes, a classic three volumes called The Spiritual Man. And today, even today, the seeking more inner life inclined Christians adore this set of three books. But little do they know, those books were written by Brother Nee at a very young age in his 20s. He was about 25, 26, a very smart and intelligent person. He has some measure of knowledge of the truth. And when he come in contact with people like, what is her name, that sister? Jesse Penn Lewis, Mrs. Penn Lewis, who was actually the mentor of Theodore Austin Sparks, or T.A. Sparks. And this sister saw the matter of our co-death and co-crucifixion with Christ. And in her latter years, she really got into the matter of warfare, battling with demons, with evil spirits, and so on and so forth. And Brother Nee got a lot of help from her. And at a young age, he himself did not have that much experience. And so actually today, you know, although this is a wonderful three volumes, but it was written at you know, in his youth. So there, when it talks about the warfare of a Christian, is very, very individualistic. You know, when I was young, when I was introduced to this matter of spiritual warfare, I got very, very scared. I mean, how can I fight against the devil? I mean, no chance. How do I war against all this evil by myself? But I didn't know anything else. I thought I have to fight. I'm supposed to fight. I'm a soldier of Christ. Then later on, Brother Nee, Watchman Nee, would warn people about reading those three volumes that he wrote. Warn people about that. Because, for example, he said that the spiritual warfare is waged not by an individual, but by the body of Christ, the church. We fight the battle in the body. We fight the battle as the church and not as an individual Christian. So brothers and sisters, when we talk about warfare, we're talking about the church rising up to put on Christ with his whole armor, and we fight together from this glorious ascended position, and from victory, from the victory of Christ. We need to know these very basic things when we talk about warfare. Now, of course, we also realize that we have a particular offensive weapon to fight with, and that is the spirit word. Not just the word, but the word that is spirit. That would be our sword to deal with the enemy. And so, brothers and sisters, you may not think so. I will tell you, the best way to fight is with the word. The word of God. Don't try to manufacture some prayer. You don't need to do that. We need the word. You know, so these days, actually, I'm still promoting here, beseeching.org, because every day there is passages of the scriptures and also some portion of the ministry. All right. If you pray those words, and I do pray those words until they become spirit within you, by myself or with my prayer companions, I tell you, you just feel not only protected because you're with the brothers. You're not alone. Even when we pray by ourselves, we need to have the consciousness that we are not alone. Many times when I pray, Lord, I'm here just by myself physically, but I declare I'm a member of the body of Christ. In reality, I'm not alone. I am in the body. I'm with the body. I am one with the body. I'm part of the body. And I pray in that way. And suddenly I just feel protected, covered, armored to pray. And not only so, I take the word. Take the word. You know, I mentioned several times to you that in the 1960s in Los Angeles, where that church is a model praying church, a model praying church in those years. And I will tell you that church in Los Angeles would not be such a model. It were not for the strong prayer reading that they did. In other words, they knew how to wield that sword. Prayer reading, brothers and sisters, is not just a technique. It is not just saying amen to some Bible verses. I mean, you need to realize prayer reading is to use the sword of the Spirit. By means of prayer, we turn the word, the black and white letter of the word, into spirit in our spirit. And that spirit is, in this case, is not just for our supply, for our provision, for sure, that is the bountiful supply of the Spirit. But more particularly, it is supplying us with something. With what? Supplying us with this armor, supplying us with the sword, supplying us with all the equipment that we need to do battle for the Lord. My, I tell you, I don't know how to say this, but brothers, the word. Oh, the word. Pray the word. Pray with the word and become skillful in using the word to pray. I think I talked to you about prayer reading, four levels of prayer reading some years back. I said the last level, the highest level of prayer reading is when you are actually praying. But as you pray, the word that is mingled with you would what? Would fill your prayer. The Bible is not even open. But the word of the Lord is so mingled with you. It comes from your constitution with that word. And so when you pray something, the word just comes out. The word just comes out. And I will give you a case, and I think I might have mentioned it to you recently, and that was, early on, the church in Jerusalem was persecuted, and the apostles were imprisoned. And when that happened, when the believers heard this, they lift up their voice with one accord to God and said, "Sovereign Master, you are the one who has made heaven and earth and the sea and all things in them, who through the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, has said, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the people devise vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his anointed.'" And so on. You know what that is? That is Psalm 2. That is Psalm 2, a fantastic psalm. Psalm 2. And brothers and sisters, they were prayer reading the Old Testament. They were praying, actually, for the apostles, right? Against the persecution. But what were they? They pick up the word of God. They repeated the word of God in the way of prayer. They declare and proclaim the scriptures as part of their prayer. And so that becomes a most powerful prayer. You know, really, dear brothers and sisters, you know, when we come together and pray, a skillful prayer, praying saint is also one who is full of the word. When they open their mouth according to the anointing spirit and the leading of the Lord, words will come to them. Scriptures will come to them. I think many of us have this experience. And then we open our mouth, the scriptures would come out, not in a way of recitation, but in a way of anointing. And that kind of word just strengthens, just become the spirit to deal with our internal enemy, the adversary, ourselves, right, as the two-edged operative word, but it also deal with Satan and the evil spirits. They're not afraid of you. They're afraid of the word of God. And when we battle with them, we're not there begging them. We're not just there debating with them. We're there proclaiming the word of God to them. You know, the Lord Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness, the enemy came and tempted him. And that was warfare. I will tell you, that was warfare. Each time, what did the Lord say? Thus saith, right? The scripture said. God said. Didn't God say? Three times the enemy came. Three times he used the word of God to withstand Satan, to withstand the devil. My, that should be a model battle for us to follow. But again, as I say, not just the dead letters, but the letters that you have prayed into you and it has become a living sword for you to wield so skillfully when we pray. Now, I come back a little bit because of my time is limited. I feel, brothers and sisters, sooner or later, if we mean business to be build up a prayer life and become an intercessor in the church life, and that our church would be built up as a warrior, a spiritual warrior, then we have to wake up and realize that we are in a constant battle, that the spiritual life is a battle. So church life is a war. Then you will also realize, you will have this kind of realization that all the things related to our Christian life and service and church service are part of this battle. You will not then be lulled to sleep. You would rather always be awake, be alert, be watchful. Brothers, even to have a time with the Lord. How about that? Just to have a time with the Lord. You would not think, well, that is no battle. I'm just have a time with the Lord. But I tell you, dear saints, even to have a time with the Lord, it's a sort of a battle. In other words, you have to fight. You have to be aggressive. You have to be active. Because there are things in the air and there are things inside of you that is trying to stop you to have a time with the Lord, to render that time meaningless and useless, all kinds of things. And there are things in the air, the evil spirits that try to suppress you, to make you feel weak. You know, suddenly you feel so weak. You're about to pray to touch the Lord, to spend some time with the Lord, suddenly you feel weak. And sometimes things will happen in your environment that will distract you, that will get your attention, or something will come into your head, your mind, to bother you, to accuse you, and all kinds of things. You know what I mean? Now, at this time, brothers, what should you do? You have to realize there's war here. And if you are like this, you will withstand those things. You will not take them. You will reject them. You know, more and more I take that word of Peter when I pray. You know, when I sense Satan's attack and suppression and oppression. And that is that word. Reject the enemy. What is it? What is the word? Refuse?
Resist.
Thank you. Thank you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. My, I tell you, you don't know how many times I was released, strengthened by that word. I put it to work. Resist the enemy and he will flee. So I resist. I exercise my spirit, my being, my will to resist him. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, you may not believe, I speak to the devil. I speak to him. I say, get away from me. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to keep me away from the Lord. You're trying to eat up my time. You're trying to convince me this is not the right time, do it later. You're trying to weaken me. You're trying to distract me by something happening out there. And a lot of times even the enemy will put some inexplicable fear within you. You were quite okay. Suddenly you're filled with fear or you're filled with anxiety. You were not worried about that thing, but suddenly when you're about to pray, the anxiety of that something came to your mind from nowhere. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, that is not your psychology playing tricks on you. That is the devil playing tricks. And what should you do? You should not take it. Oh, too many saints took that and become subdued and become paralyzed. No, brothers, resist. Resist the enemy and he will flee. Too many experiences of that. By my resisting him, I'm empowered. And the enemy fled. The enemy fled. He's gone. And I can go about my business with the Lord and whatever I need to do, my prayer, my whatever. I feel, brothers, this is one area that may explain a kind of weakness in the church life. A kind of giving up, a kind of, you know, what is it? Do you remember in World War II, before the Nazi Germany had that breach invaded Poland? You know, they have to do all kinds of things to, you know, on the front with UK or Great Britain. Mm. And so they said all kinds of things to cause the British politicians to believe that Germany is not about to do these crazy things, to be aggressive, to invade and all of this. And this, their prime minister at that time called Chamberlain, I think Chamberlain, bought that. And he went to Berlin, met with Hitler or whoever, and came back waving this paper, this little paper. We have peace. We have peace. Nazi Germany just won peace. And I have this little paper, whatever that is. This is called appeasement. appeasement. I tell you, Satan wants us to wave this little piece of paper and say, we got peace with the devil. He won't attack us. We're safe. We're okay. Nothing is going to happen. Immediately, I tell you, Nazi Germany attacked Poland, and the rest is history. Brothers, we can be lulled to a kind of appeasement with the enemy. No, no, brothers. The churches need to be strong. No appeasement. No detente. No ceasefire. No armistice with the enemy. No, not for a moment. The church will not do that. Today, we are still here fighting, praying for his kingdom to come, his will to be done, to push back Satan's kingdom, to destroy his will. Brothers, that's what the church should be doing. But no, generally the church has been paralyzed, immobilized, and cannot carry out this kind of warfare. We may be small, brothers and sisters, in the church life, our number and all of this. But brothers, it's not even just that. It is our position. It is our exercise. It is our view, attitude, and the position that we take. So, brothers, I am here underscoring this matter of warfare. Gospel preaching is totally a warfare. We are supposed to go and open people's eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the authority of Satan to God, to transfer them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now, we're supposed to bind the strong man. We're supposed to plunder the house. If this is not warfare, I don't know what it is. Brother Nee once said, if you want me to speak concerning some subject, I don't know what it was. He told the saints, then you have to give me 30 brothers and sisters who will be praying while I speak. Because he knows it's going to be war. I just got off the phone earlier. The Lord covers me to share this testimony. A dear brother. He said, Brother Minoru, I want to let you know that last month, we have this Chinese speaking perfecting training, you know, a whole week of that. And I have to, you know, along with James Lee and other brothers, bear a lot of burden in the messages. And it was a very crucial time. It's not just giving an outline. It is the burden and a redirecting, a resetting of the Chinese speaking work. It is a very, very pivotal moment. And it requires a lot. And I know in these kind of situations, it's warfare. I don't mean against the saints, right? Of course. I'm talking about the enemy. It's warfare. The whole training is warfare. To fight so that the burden of the Lord, the speaking of the Lord, would be there in a proper way. That the saints would not misunderstand the words, the mind, but rather would what? Understand in a proper way. That the enemy would have no ground, no way to use whatever we speak against us to cause concern, to cause even divisive thoughts. This brother, he said, somewhat in tears, he said, Brother, though that week, twice a week or every day, I don't remember. Because the meetings start pretty early in the morning. He said every morning at 7:30, either he or he with one or two will get up and pray. He said specifically to pray for you. To pray for you. Now, brothers, I didn't know that until he told me, and I'm very, very grateful to the Lord. But I will also tell you that even though I didn't know that he was praying, I also know in my spirit, within me, someone is praying. Someone is praying. Then that prayer is what is strengthening. You know, Moses in the mountain, am I right? With the hands held up. And so Joshua in the valley is able to defeat the enemy. I just know someone is praying. Someone is praying. Because the whole training went on peacefully. Not only so, the burden was discharged. I felt the Lord advanced in a very solid way. There were a lot of saints, a lot of saints. Brothers and sisters, that was war. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I feel a mature believer is one who can fight. You have to be, you know, 20 years old. That means you have to be physically mature in order to be numbered to be in God's army. We need the mature saints especially, those who have a level of growth in life, to rise up to be the power of the church life, to fight this warfare on a daily basis. Gospel preaching. How about shepherding? Now, if you shepherd people and you never sense it's a warfare, then I have a little question mark on your shepherding. Someone that I'm shepherding is right now actually under the hands of the devil. Yes, they don't know it, but they are. In their mind, in their emotion are gripped. Gripped by the enemy in an unreasonable way. Their minds are spouting off imaginations that is not from them but from Satan, putting it into them. You know, I like that verse in 2 Corinthians about what? About for though we walk in flesh, we do not war against the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful. Warfare, not against flesh and blood, but against the enemy. Before God, powerful before God, for the overthrowing of strongholds, as we overthrow reasonings and every high things, rising up against the knowledge of God and take captive every thought unto the obedience of Christ. I like to tell you, brothers and sisters, these days, much of the war is the war of the mind. The war of the mind. Whoever occupies your mind, either the spirit or this age, or the spirit of this age, the spirit of God, or the spirit of this age, the God and his promises, or the philosophies of today, whatever it is, I tell you today, there is a warfare in the human mind. And our job is to gain people, to capture people, to cause people to be gained by Christ, to be brought to the obedience of Christ, to come into the kingdom of God. And you have to what? Deal with the mind. You have to overthrow the strongholds in the mind. You have to overthrow reasonings of the mind. And brothers and sisters, that can only be done by a kind of fighting prayer. There comes a time when we pray. We are not just begging the Lord, asking the Lord to save this person or that person. We're saying, Lord, we disagree with the thoughts that are shackling this person, with the thinking, the thoughts that is binding this person or this believer or this brother or sister. Lord, we don't agree. We're here to pray the prayer to overcome, overthrow reasonings, strongholds. Bring this person's mind into subjection, into obedience of Christ. If you don't pray this kind of prayer, you just pray some superficial prayer. Lord, help this person, do something. But no, it's warfare. When you touch that, you perceive, you discern, there is something there in their mind holding them back. A certain kind of high thought, a certain kind of concept, sometimes a certain kind of notion there that is unhealthy. That is something of this age. You know, I'm very burdened for the young people today because their brains, their heads are filled with the thoughts and philosophies of this age. To gain them, you have to gain their mind. And in some cases, you see a sister who's totally taken over by his emotions. Just emotions. And you, if you know how to pray, you would pray, Lord, subdue those emotions. Subdue those emotions. Or you may see someone kind of constantly living, kind of being oppressed by something. I didn't say depressed, I say oppressed. There is something there just oppressing this person. You remember the woman who is bent, huh? Bent, you know, do you remember that? His face is always looking down, his whole body is shaped. The bent. That is the work of the enemy to oppress a human being. And we have to pray the prayer to release this person under the hand of Satan and the evil spirits. And so, brothers and sisters, I'm taking too long to impress upon you. May more saints know how to war. May more churches, at least a part of the church comprised of the more exercised and mature saints, know how to do the spiritual battle. We have a good number of songs in the hymnal, in the spiritual warfare section, and in the prayer section, you know, on this matter. Fight the battle in the body, right? And I was looking at here one song that I have not sung for longest time by Brother Nee, 876. When war is hot and fierce and Satan strong, then firmly trust God's word and sing faith's song. You need to shout but once and you will win. Oh, do not shut your mouth and lose therein. If pressed, your spirit is and powerless, pray through the precious blood, victorious. The foe, though fears, you can still fight with him. If you will keep your stand, you soon will win. Therefore, you must declare Christ's victory. The situation dark, soon changed will be. I just, stop here. This week, I believe the prayer burden of beseeching.org is on the matter of praise. When we fight, you know, if you read, you will see that Satan not only hates our prayer, even more he hates our praise. And praise is a sign of triumph. And that's where we start in our prayer, to declare the Lord's victory, to praise Him, praise the Lord. This will make us a triumphant church. And by this, we can win the victory. I hope, brothers, you're still in the school of prayer to learn these things and pick up these things. We can do this. We can do this. I stop here. Amen.